This is Rhode Island Public Radio. The last of the state's lawsuits against the big financial players in the 38 Studios case has been settled with court approval. Rhode Island Public Radio's political analyst Scott McKay takes us through this legal battle and what's next in this nearly seven-year-long controversy. Hello, Scott.
Great to be here, Dave.
So what's your take on this final settlement in the 38 Studios case with the court approval?
Well, what this signals is the end of this long civil legal battle. But, you know, it's probably not the end of the political thrust and parry, or, of course, the blame game, which at the State House is one of the favorite pastimes. What's happened here essentially is that the state is getting $16 million more outside of legal fees. It's about $12.1 million. And this company, which is Hilltop, previously known as First Southwest, was one of the financial advisors in this whole 38 Studios frittata. And what this means is that we now have gotten to about $61 million in recovery from the civil suits that were initiated against the law firms and the big financial advisors who advised the state during this. This lawsuit was filed way back when Governor Lincoln Chafee was governor, and he said at the time this was the best we were going to be able to do to recover money. So we have recovered some of the money, and that seems to be a good thing. Probably not all the money. Again,
Kurt Schilling, are about $12.5 million still in the hole.
We do owe that money, and that's, I believe, is going to have to come out of the budget this year. As you know, we did give Kurt Schilling $75 million, and there was some interest in there before his company went bankrupt.
Now, the governor pledged an investigation of the 38 Studios deal during her 2014 campaign for governor. And what's the status of her attitude now? I mean, she says if the court approves things, she wants all the grand jury records to come out. Where does that stand?
She's saying now that she's not going to have a special investigation as she called for in her 2014 campaign. What I believe is there's a lot of exasperation on the part of the governor and her people. They feel that this for too long has been a cloud over the state's economic development efforts. They feel it's led to a lot of negativity and distrust of government in the state. And I frankly don't think they want the headlines, and the daily news broadcasts, devoting a lot of time to digging out what actually happened way back in 2010. When this deal first came down.
So there's something else to hide, perhaps?
Well, I don't know.
Or something that someone doesn't want to come out?
I'm sure there's some things people don't want to come out, but none of them have anything to do with Governor Raimondo. Since, as you know, when she ran for general treasurer that same year, she was almost as adamant against this deal as was then candidate for governor Link Chafee. He was the number one guy in the state who said no, and she was running for general treasurer, and she said this wasn't a good idea. So I think that she feels there's nothing on her plate that she has to be worried about, and she is willing to open up and ask the court to open up all of the grand jury testimony, which she thinks will lead for transparency here and give people some sense of what happened.
Transparency, yes, but perhaps accountability, no?
Well, that's the big problem here, I think, if you look at this. No one really here is accountable, and we may just never know exactly what happened behind closed doors. Governor Carcieri, who was governor then, has not been forthcoming, really. He did take his depositions, but he never had to testify under oath on this deal. And, of course, the other principal, whose motives we've looked at very closely, is then-Speaker Gordon Fox. And we all know where Gordon Fox is now. He's in federal prison now. He was accused and charged and pleaded guilty to corruption, but the corruption he pleaded to was unrelated to this mess that we had at 38 Studios. He's got very good legal counsel, and Bill Murphy, the former House Speaker, one of the state's best defense lawyers. And you know that Murphy is not going to allow him to get into any kind of situation that would be a double jeopardy. He's going to serve his term. You know, he would take the Fifth Amendment. I'm sure there's no reason that he would like to reopen this right now.
So perhaps down the road, nothing but he said, and whispers in the shadows.
Well, thankfully, there's always journalism and people to try to go back and maybe take these grand jury statements and the testimony and hopefully do a look back, and perhaps we'll find out something there. But it looks like no criminal charges. It looks like no one is going, you know, to the pokey for anything that happened here in this 38 Studios mess. As we all know, it's hung over the state for a long time. And I think that hopefully we'll learn not to make such foolish investments again.
Legacy impact of this on state government, on politics in general.
Well, I think Rhode Islanders have a well-known cynicism and skepticism about state government. Things like this don't help. Again, all of these companies that they settled with and the law firms, as you know, were allowed, this is almost pro forma now, they were allowed to pay millions of dollars but not admit to any liability or guilt. And that's the way these civil suits generally work.
Does the 38 Studios case stymie development in the sense of the state may propose something and people hear that and say, oh, yeah, right?
I think it may, and I think you've already seen some of this. I think there was more skepticism about the original attempt to build a new stadium for the Paw Sox in downtown Providence with a hefty state subsidy. And I think part of the reason people were so upset about that was they looked at it and said, oh, no, here comes another 38 Studios. I also think that because of the way these bonds were done, these so-called moral obligation bonds, this is the way that the State House makes a side run of the constitutional provision that forces voters to actually have the final say into whether the state borrows large amounts of money. And I think the next time something this big comes up, you're probably going to see people in the legislature say, look, if we can't convince the voters to do this, it's probably not the right thing to do, and we shouldn't do it. And I think that may be the one byproduct that's good that comes out of this mess.
Okay. Rhode Island Public Radio's political analyst, Scott McKay. Scott, thank you.
Thank you, Dave.